everybody getting their sway on tonight? It's Data Transfer Season 2, Episode 39,
I think.
39. And I'm Audrey.
I'm Corla.
And we are joined this evening from the wonderful podcast, The Socialist Shelf, Jacob and Lenore. Thank you for joining us.
Well, we're the workers lit now.
It's workers lit. Yeah.
Six months ago. 6 months
Shit!
Ago.
Yeah.
Ironically, I couldn't remember the old name.
That's incredible. There was a thing that we were doing when we rebranded, where we were like, okay, the book half is going to still be Socialist Shelf, and the news half that we did up until recently is going to be called Unfit to Print, and then we like promptly abandoned that distinction.
Sure.
Yeah. Because that's like a lot.
On my other podcast, I am not permitted to introduce guests for that reason.
Well, we take no offense to it. None at all.
Lovely.
We are delighted to be here. Thank you so much.
Hell yeah. Talk about these digital monsters. We like to do a little how do you do, what's going on. Let's start with Lenore. What's going on in your neck of the woods? What's happening?
Not a whole lot, of course. We're in Atlanta, so like a bunch of people are here for the World Cup, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I was fearing because I'm a barista. I'm like, oh, shoot, there's going to be so much foot traffic for obvious reasons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very, very under-attended here in the States. So there's a lot of just, you know, it's always slow during the week. So there's a lot of just standing around watching Qatar get eaten alive by Canada. Because the Chinese place across from where I work was screening it. And there's a huge pillar with a dragon wrapped around it, like right in the middle of the screen. So I kind of have to imagine most of what's going on in the field.
That's funny. Have you been having the very cool experience that my Boston friends have been having? Because they had, first, it was a whole bunch of Scots, if I'm not mistaken, that were hanging out in Boston and having having tinnies and brews. And just making Boston weird again. I have a very dear friend, Jay, who was talking about a conversation that he overheard between a Boston lady and a Scottish dude, and how that's just two very cool accents to hear next to each other.
Oh, yeah. So we had a we got a couple of Spain games. So like that generally like is the fans that are here. And Spain played that incredible draw against Cabo Verde. You know, Cabo Verde, very small country, kind of a poor country, like first time in the World Cup. So like a lot of the Spanish people who came into my work were kind of, you know, like, you know, whatever. There were two people from Cabo Verde who were like, this is the best day of our lives.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Lenore was in Spain with the S. We also have some folks from Congo visit as well. Actually, some folks were just like posted up at downtown Decatur, which is where I'm near. I was just like playing some music and like jamming out. It was awesome.
That's bad as hell. Love an international experience.
So much fun. Could be like this all the time if we would just be normal.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, Jacob, other than getting to see some cool Congolese folks play some music, what else going on in your world?
You know, been doing a lot of writing, or trying to. A lot of writing often ends up being a lot of reading, because I'm like, wait, I need more context for this thing I'm working on. And then I read 20 books. But that's okay. That's also a good usage of time. I've been doing
that.
I've been playing some Sekiro Shadows Die Twice for the 30th time.
Yeah.
Generally just, you know, just making it happen here also in Atlanta with Lenore. And unlike Lenore, I work from home, so the foot traffic doesn't bother me. I just get to go out and see the people and then retreat to my cavern to do my work over here.
Grotto,
so,
as it were.
No doubt.
Grotto.
So yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, been a fun time so far. I'm hoping it stays that way and I don't know, police and city don't act a fool as sometimes they tend to do.
Right.
As they
have
been known to do.
Was it, who was it among our friends that like was telling us, I think it might've been our editor who was like, yeah, like they're just recruiting anybody. The police are like, there's somebody's like 70-year-old grandmother, like wearing a brand new uniform.
That's kind of sick. I can't even get mad at that.
Stop her, my grandma'll shoot.
I hope Granny uses that to get laid. Just like take that, keep that when you're off the force, and then just go be like an old stripper.
You know, during the World Cup, I was one of Atlanta's finest.
Corla, what's happening in Wenatchee?
Fucking nothing. I mean, there's a festival we're all getting ready for, but we're out fucking way away from the World Cup going on. I'm sure there's a lot of people hanging out at bars to watch what's going on, but I've been staying at home. We've been alternating who's sick in the house.
there's games in Vancouver.
Oh, are there?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well then I'm sure there's something going on. I haven't been able to see the outside world much.
bit of a hike, like I understand.
Yeah, due to the mucus.
Yeah.
But I've been spending a lot of my time with games lately. Sister got the family a Switch 2.
Let's go.
And we've been playing a couple of things off it. Mario Kart, Hyrule Warriors, and Pokemon Pocopia, which is, how do I put it? If anyone's familiar with the Dragon Quest Builders games, which are kind of Quest themed Minecraft like with a much heavier focus on like a linear story and sort of dynamic world building in the literal sense of like you build buildings and spaces for certain purposes like piece by piece, and then people inhabit them and take up jobs, except this time it's Pokemon. And also, an apocalypse happened, I think. I'm not entirely sure about that part. But it's adorable.
An ambiguous apocalypse.
Yeah, honestly, when do we get the Digimon Pocopia? Because that's what I want to play. Yeah, I want to play
Digopia. Oh,
is that what we'd call it?
Digopia.
The apocalypse seems very likely in that world. It's kind of shocking it hasn't
entirely
happened
entirely.
Pocopia sounds cool. Sort of like a Viridian City Skylines.
Yeah, absolutely. Fuck, damn it.
Very good.
That's really good, and I wish I'd thought of that. it's so good. I've been playing it with the partner I'm living with and having a grand old time. It's also very steeped in Gen 1 nostalgia, so I'm just like, yay, my Charmander friend.
My friend Charmander.
I'm gonna bring him. I need to make bread, so I'm gonna go say hi to my Charmander friend, bring him back to the kitchen where he can light the stone oven so I can actually make some fucking bread.
That rules. I love any in, you know, Pokemon, Digimon, like any of these, like, you know, weird little monster shows. I love seeing just how they interact, how they're integrated with like everyday life.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a fantastic video came out a little while back, talking about Pokemon's use to help people with disability in the show. And then theorizing like all sorts of other gaps that Pokemon could fill for disability assistance.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Imagining better worlds.
Mm-hmm. I got to put that in the description. It's a great video to watch. Yeah.
You break both your arms to hire a Mr. Mime.
Your arms. For my part, I'm gearing up for Pride, which is not this weekend, but the next. I will be heading out to a spot called Disco Tits Vintage. I'm going to buzz market
Hell
a vintage
yeah.
store in Cincinnati. I'm going to go put together a fit and look hella gay at the Pride.
Hell yeah. That's what it's all about.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
You know, we do our big Pride Festival in Atlanta in October, just heat-wise.
Oh.
We
yeah, that makes sense.
Delay yep. it till then. And we do it around International Coming Out Day. But got some parties coming up for sure in Atlanta. Keep your eye on Little Five Points. I'm involved with Southern Fried Queer Pride down here in Georgia, and we do have some cool markets and stuff coming up. So if you're listening to this in the Atlanta area, Little Five Points especially, all kinds of cool stuff happening. And lore down near Midtown. Lots of fun stuff.
Yeah, Hello. Get out there.
In my workplace, I got to be the one who made the Pride and Juneteenth display. Basically, I come into work the other morning and there are two transgender people on the management staff, which is, I think, kind of a boon for us. And that is sick. But the other trans person I work with is a little less politically activated and maybe a touch clueless. I love you, my dude. But
oh, and so
I'm like walking by and my boss goes, hey, do you want to help with this? And I walk in and we're like figuring out graphics and stuff for it. And eventually she just goes, do you want to drive, like get on the computer and just do it while we kind of bounce ideas. And I'm like, y'all fucked up because you got the history major to write your Pride and Juneteenth displays. So I am going to talk about how slavery is involved in the one and Stonewall was a riot. So currently in the Brooke Rubenway workplace, there's a little, hey, why is Pride celebrated in June? Well, cops raided a gay bar and were trying to arrest people for cross-dressing, and then people fucking threw bricks at them, and it was awesome.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
A little bit of realness for the people. We can now perhaps begin to talk about some digital realness. You know,
yeah.
The fake realness of Digimon.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, we got this from y'all before the show, but just for the sake of the show, Lenore, what's your experience with Digimon up to this point?
None, save for like 20 years ago when I was maybe like 12, stumbling across some bizarre erotica. I had no idea what a Renamon was or why she was doing that to Rika, yeah. But
yep. No, that sounds exactly right to me.
She do be doing that. That's the thing Renamon gets up to a lot, apparently.
Yeah. Jacob, what about you?
You know, for me, my experience is mostly limited to a friend in college who occasionally, when he was drunk, would put on Digimon Epic Moments on YouTube. So I've seen the most epic moments, but that's about it. And got to get some context for those epic moments. But I like knew it was something that I feel like I would enjoy if I engaged with, you know, obviously not no longer in sort of the age group that it's targeted at. But every time I saw clips from it, I'm like, this actually rules. So yeah. I was really interested in coming on and engaging with it here. And having seen my first full episode now, I can confirm this shit rules.
I'm glad to hear that because I got roped in fucking young.
Yeah, this is way back for me, too.
Yeah, I started watching before I could like read. So these creatures, these designs are dug deep into my brain, and I have entirely irrational opinions about most of them just based on how I felt on them, you know, as a 4-year-old.
Well, on the subject of the designs, like the evolutions, I feel like that's the first thing that somebody who's like more versed in Pokemon notices about Digimon is that the designs are much less, like, you think about the Bulbasaur line, right, and how it's an increasingly angry dinosaur. Okay, like, kind of predictable. But, like, you can go from a, what is it, like, a little bird thing to, like, a dude with a gun.
Yeah.
Yes.
In Digimon.
The classic joke of Gabumon becomes a Barra werewolf and then becomes a refrigerator with a minigun.
Yeah. I was getting the image of exactly that.
That's the one.
Like Pokemon, you go from kitten to lion to old lion. Digimon, you go from kitten to raptor to fridge with a minigun. Yeah.
This is the way.
Although, depending on the game, it's incredibly complicated, actually. It's never been very consistent, Digivolution in the series.
Well, because they started as a goddamn Tamagotchi. And then, like, you know, so you have all this design from the Tamagotchi era that they then have to honor to some degree in later, more visually complex.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, after the fact of getting your initial concepts, you then have to make, like, a style guide, a series Bible, essentially. Like, after the fact, when the rules were kind of really flimsy to start with.
Yeah.
Well, and it seems like they can fuse together too, which adds an entire another layer on top of the thing, which I thought was super cool.
Not only can they fuse, they can then evolve again after they have fused, like we saw in this episode entitled Draymon Power, in the English version or the Japanese that we watched. Everyone, move out! Imperial Draymon.
So once they fused, and then they evolve like while they're fused. Can they split? Will they be different if they split, or are they kind of like that way for like forever?
Well,
Not forever, because they'll come back out of it. That's one of the huge features of Digimon, is that you can do the same evolution animation over and over again over the course of the show to save on budget. You have already animated it. We're going to take 4 minutes of the episode to do Digivolution sequences.
Yeah, and when we've seen them knocked out of fused form, they both come out like in their baby form, just fully depowered.
Yeah.
So yeah, just, I imagine it would be that.
Just important to explain, you know, like the birds, the bees, and the chainsaw, and the refrigerator, and all of that. To understand how when Digimon love each other very much. That is the one thing that
Pokemon has over this. It's a lot harder to explain evolution with Digimon.
Yeah.
I think it's the opposite. I think this rules. I want it to be as like complex and arcane as possible. I'm all for it.
It's entirely vibes based. If your vibes are like real dark going into it, it could turn into a giant skeleton dragon. But except normally it turns into a cyborg dragon.
And we all know that cyborgs and the undead are locked in eternal conflict.
Yeah, undead are evil. Cyborgs are cool and neutral.
As everybody knows, Mummymon is the atheist nightmare.
That's true.
So in watching this episode, we will discuss the synopsis from digimon.fandom.com. This section of the article is a stub, and you can help by expanding it in the synopsis. Once again, we are stuck with a stub. Control spires in Digimon are appearing everywhere around the Earth, including Tamachi, where Ken lives!
Oh, no! Yeah, it's... We get a little screen of them just like popping up little dots all over the globe.
Yeah.
While Izzy's freaking out over it.
And important to note, if there is an obelisk nearby, you cannot digivolve normally. You simply have to use a digi egg to armor digivolve.
Gotta be armor.
There's rules.
Daisuke goes there to help him. I love the writing.
Sure does.
The writing makes me so happy on these.
Yeah. Everyone's gathering over at Izzy's place to actually set up a plan, and Daisuke's like, I gotta go help Ken. He's where the shit is going down right now.
They're rescuing a BF.
That's right. Yeah,
this is when I asked whether there were homosexual tendencies involved, but you know, it's hard to say, you know. These are children.
A very romantically charged soccer rivalry.
Yes.
At the start of the show.
That's all soccer rivalries.
Fair. No, fair. Since evolved to their to being just their Digimon like fused together for combat.
Which I thought was just so delicious. Initially, Daisuke was like so hot to Jogress. It's called when you what is the fucking root words of that? Because it's
joint progress
when they Jogress. Daisuke was like, that's fucking Jogress, Ichijoji. And Ichijoji like demurred and was like, no, I don't think I can.
Ken's like, I have trauma. I have avoidant personality when it comes to romance. I'm not comfy with this.
The girlies in the party had to tell Daisuke, you're coming on too strong, dog. Like, it was awesome. But Daisuke goes there to help him.
I never Jogress on a first date, yeah.
You can't.
No, you can't
do it. Why, you know, buy the Pyildramon when you can Jogress for free? Daisuke goes there to help him, but they run into Triceramon. He's Fuck there. Yeah. They're having trouble fighting him because he has help from Mummymon.
That's
true. Mummymon and Arakenimon are just kind of fucking watching from on top of a building. Like, well, it's not our chaos, but it is chaos, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah, we'll take it.
I appreciate you showing us the episode with the evil lesbian in it as a welcome for me.
Oh, absolutely. She's a prominent villain.
She's not my own concern for long.
If I'd known your enthusiasm, I brought you in for one of her intro episodes because it's a little silly.
Well, a regular sort of feature on Workers Lit when we talk about fiction is you know, Jacob, you have your like I can fix him character. I, Lenore, have the she can make me worse character.
Hell yeah. By unleashing a mummy in this case, I suppose.
This stub gets wilder and wilder. So they're having trouble fighting him because he has help from Omimon. Genai appears looking a lot younger.
Genai
and gives them the Digicore.
A hell of a skip. Zulongmon.
Tons of shit happens in between.
First of all, not even addressing the adorable little raincoats that we get for Agumon and Gabumon. I loved that. They just get their little raincoats.
Do they, see, at first, like, I thought they were, like, in a cloak or something, because they have to hide the fact that they're little, like, dinosaur fucking dudes.
Mm-hmm. That's precisely it, yeah.
But, like, then, but they're fighting out in the open. Like, that becomes, I imagine, not a problem.
Yeah, I would think they could just stroll around.
Mm-hmm. There's a soft masquerade thing going on where it makes the kids' lives easier if they don't have to explain, like, the military-grade fucking chibi monster they have with them.
Yeah, it's like, I'm carrying a nuke, but if I put it in the most adorable outfit of all time, no one will notice.
Yeah, the second-gen kids, their Digimon come over as in their baby form, so they just carry them around as little dolls, and if anyone asks, they're like, oh, it's just like a RoboCat, you know, the ones that, like, pee.
You know those pissing RoboCats?
It's like this guy right here. This is my Digimon.
Yeah.
I keep that shit on me.
That's precious. I love that.
It's an auditory medium, so I just showed a penguin, plush penguin there, folks. I just realized y'all can't see me. Most people listen to this. You just imagine a really cute penguin. That's what it was.
Penguin mom.
I mean, Genai does show up here, but we don't know that's who it is.
At first,
because we have Qinglongmon giving one of his orbs mysteriously to just a Jedi sitting there with him.
Yeah, he's sitting on a mountaintop meditating. God appears to him and goes like, "Here,
sick, have a Dragon Ball."
And could y'all explain to me what these orbs are, or is that not a thing we're supposed to know at this point?
I have no idea yet.
They're tokens that you give to Jedi to make him do something.
Hey, Gen AI. Mm-hmm.
The best we have is it's a part of his power. So there was this whole thing of the holy stones that keep the separation between the digital world and the real world being systematically destroyed by the two nerds you saw on top of the building. And the last
proxy,
one,
Black War Greymon, of course.
Yeah, the last one got destroyed, and Qinglongmon, like, replaced it with one of those orbs.
Okay.
Or, like, planted a new one to grow in its place eventually with one of the orbs. It's a little ambiguous.
He can take those orbs and just do important things with them.
Yeah, they're just plot orbs of power, I guess.
Love it.
They're plot orbs.
They make you young. They're the opposite of the beach that makes you old.
Gotcha.
Well, you plant orbs so, like, you know, future generations can sit in the shade of whatever they become.
Of the orb tree.
We plant orbs that we will not be around to see sprout.
That's beautiful. Or if they make you young, you will be around to see them sprout.
Yeah, just do it all over again. Genai appears looking a lot younger and gives them the Digicore granted to him by a Zulongmon, which will allow them to digivolve to ultimate once again. Is a sentence.
And this is timely because the fusion we already have out there fighting of Paildramon getting his ass whipped. I have a note here. Paildramon gets in caps scrungled against a wall. Just the wildest fucking pain pose after he gets smashed into a wall. It's great.
I mean, I would have a pretty wild pain pose after getting triceratopsed into a building.
Oh, absolutely. That's three different horns to impale you. That sucks.
I have to take the L here because, like, I saw Triceramon and immediately, without thinking, I went, oh, Stegosaurus.
I wasn't going to dog you out like that.
With such joy, too.
Well, and folks, that's how you know you're an adult, when you forget your dinosaurs. Yeah.
There's some that are just in there. I think probably if I saw a Styracosaurus out of context, I might be like,
Which one
or
was
that? Brontosaurus?
Like, Styracosaurus, it's like a Triceratops, but he's got more of a frill, I think, right?
Okay, I'm digging it. Okay, cool.
Oh, you're talking about obscurity. No, I gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Indie dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly. I was in a Styracosaur before. I played Evo Search for Eden. I know all about some crazy shit.
Fucking dork ass.
I know about Ramathecus. They use it. And the power also goes to Pail Dramon, allowing him to Mega Digivolve to Imperial Dramon Dragon mode.
Which is the sickest.
That part's so sick.
So Pail Dramon's just like, he's like an armored guy. And he's got big claws and guns.
Half dragon, half bug.
Yeah, and they like the guns point out backwards, and then he flip them around and desperado blaster people. And he's sick as hell. And then he turns into a pretty fucking evil looking dragon.
Yeah.
Which
same color scheme.
There's a visual consistency throughout. This is something I love about Digimon, is that sometimes you will have protagonists who look like they will tear your heart out and throw it down the street.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which you, and this, you know.
And this is the one whose special attack is like Megadeth.
Yes.
It's called Megadeth.
His special attack is Megadeth. That is precisely what the show tells us.
Yeah, you gotta have you have to have a good guy with a Megadeth to stop a bad guy with a Megadeth. But we see the animation of this castle just exploding, which is not a castle that is involved in the plot in any way, to my knowledge. It's just a like, this guy can do this. And we see that animation, I think, three times, which is really sick. I really enjoyed that.
It's metaphorical, right? Like, Sephiroth doesn't actually blow up the entire galaxy when he uses Supernova, but, like, he could.
Right. No, it, much like Supernova, is the equivalent of the, like, bowling animation when you get a strike.
That... Okay, now I'm just thinking about a bowling alley, and it's all Digimon animations when you bowl strikes.
I need this. Now, yeah.
That I need.
Let's move to Japan and open it at Odaiba. Let's go.
Oh, that's so cute to think that we would ever own property as white people moving to Japan.
Well, like, we'd have
put aside the poverty, the racism alone.
Well, we have to destroy like the evil obelisk before we even like break ground.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We got to take down the obelisk so that the Digimon can digivolve inside the Digi bowling alley.
No, I'll apply for a loan. I say, don't worry, I'm a podcaster. That
right. So he digivolves into Imperial Dramon Dragon mode, and he defeats Triceramon with Daisuke and Ken, and goes around Japan destroying Control Spike. It's a strong word because he kind of just grabs him by the head and holds him up.
Yeah, it really sells it short.
Computer.
The man who was like beating the shit out of him pre-evolution, he just kind of casually picks up by the scruff like a kitten that's not behaving. It's just like, all right, put him in the Ghostbusters zone, throw him in there,
get him back, get him back.
This part worried me. I was worried that the Triceratops was going to get hurt. I learned that no, the Digi world is a fine place for Digimon to be.
Yeah, that's where it's supposed to be.
Unless y'all are telling me like, he went to go live on a farm thing to make me feel better, but I'm going to assume no, it's not that.
This is like the resonance cascade in Half-Life 1. These guys are just kind of poofing involuntarily out of their own dimension into ours, and they're having the normal response to teleporting into an unknown hostile place. They're all
instant
having panic
violence.
Attacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. Defending themselves with violence.
It's like it's like a D&D campaign I ran once where we had a bunch of different realms ghosts could come from, and a ghost from the realm of punching showed up and started punching everyone, and they had to punch him to make him feel better, and then they returned him to the realm of punching, and it turned out that's what he needed to feel at home.
Hell yeah,
there,
the elemental
that's as relevant
plane
as I can get. That's what it was. They visit it briefly, and it's just a bunch of fists punching you, and they're like, you gotta leave, and they did in fact leave. That's what happens when you put me in charge of your D&D campaign, folks.
No, I love that. That's great.
Are you the kind of DM that has, like, I'll usually have a soundboard, like we'll play on Roll20 and I'll have a little soundboard of stuff that I could play. Did you have the cartoon punch noise just playing constantly?
I did. I had a little cartoon punch noise that I played. I always had like a little soundtrack and some little that. Mostly I just clicked air horns anytime like something bad happened to them, though. That's the main reason I had it. They loved it. They were really happy about it.
Yeah, Dimension 20 would be much improved with a selection of air horns for Brennan to use.
He cannot be trusted with an air horn.
No, that's true. He's a brutal man.
So he goes, defeats Triceramon, sends him back to Digital World. When they come back, Genii tells them they have to go around the world, meeting up with international Digidestin and Genii's counterparts in other countries to destroy the control spires and send the Digimon back to the digital world using Imperial Dramon Dragon Mode.
We missed the laser.
He does shoot an incredibly powerful laser that just artillery strikes three different dark spires, like six prefectures over.
Yeah, precision strikes in three directions at once.
Swoop.
Just like, okay, so when you have a god orb, you can just do that casually.
Yeah, why not? This is something that happens in shows like this. It happened in Power Rangers. It happens even in the Pokemon in a less pronounced way, I find. There's power creep. The protagonists have to continually get more powerful. This is a big fucking leap, being able to do this. Because usually, like, they spent a long time this season going around destroying dark spires individually, largely Stigmon doing a spiking finish, which is a very up close and personal. He's got to get in there and fucking... But now they have fucking ICBMs, and that's going to be interesting to mitigate, you know?
Yeah, this is like just in terms of job efficiency, they've shot up a whole ton, let alone like what the show is going to have to put up against them to actually give them a fight.
Right.
Just Donald Trump in the Situation Room. Like, listen, Pete, I saw this thing. We got to get it. The Japanese have it. We have to recruit it. Can really get us back in the fight.
We need Imperial German.
Yeah, Pete and Marco discussing, like, how do we tell them it's not real? And you can't. Like, I saw it blow up a castle. It's Megadeth. Megadeth.
I've seen Megadeth it. To blow I've up seen a castle. It takes out three towers at once. That's 1.5 9/11s.
That's a 9/11 and a half in an instant. I need this.
And this was a show, sir. Well, I'm not so sure.
The love between these children and the Digimon is real. I refuse to accept that this is not real. And then it says, get ready for the Digimon World Tour, which is a thing I said, and now I feel like a dumbass.
So they go, like, what was there, like, six cities where they have to go save, like, Mexico City, Paris, Moscow. Like, they go to all these places, Sydney. I assume. Sydney, yeah.
Mm-hmm. New York.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the sixth one, but yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're just like, it's setting up, we're going to go check out all these places, you're going to meet the local Digidestin, then you're going to fuck off.
Yeah.
All six cities in the world.
This is something they do often, is they'll set up like, okay, this is, it's like, you know, Greymon Digivolves, or Agumon Digivolves into Greymon in the first season. It's like, okay, so the next six episodes are going to be the other guys digivolving into their champion form and getting their moment, right? They've set up, like, you have six places you got to go to those places and do those things. But what's going to happen in Mexico City, you know?
Well, yeah, and there's, like, you see the, like, the Situation Room, like, map or whatever of, like, all the places in the world where the, like, boundaries between reality have been torn down. And there's stuff, like, in Africa. And so, like, presumably, like, you know, the kids in Algeria have it locked down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're doing great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Albanian Digidestin have it under control.
Yeah, there's a global Digidestin force, and, like, by numbers, just assuming that it's randomly distributed throughout the populace, you'd think most of them would be in Africa and China.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yeah. Hong Kong, that was the other city.
Hong Kong, sure, yep. Sure, yep. Sure. Makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Why not Shanghai? Well, it's because the Chinese Digidestin did it so much more efficiently, and it's already been taken care of.
They're done. Yeah, they're doing the fucking press rounds already.
they're doing
talk shows about it.
Yeah, I really have one final line of text here. Megadeth with Chinese characteristics. Yeah.
Meanwhile, back in Japan, Arukenimon and Mummymon get new orders from their benefactors to handle. While the Japanese Digidestin are out of the country.
Yeah, we're introduced to a Digidestin, like, social network that apparently exists now.
Yeah, yeah.
Or tracking. I'm not entirely sure.
Jedi put me on the Digiweb, I guess.
he got me a Pester Chum account.
I gotta say, it was lovely to see those old computers, the way it was booting up, the little emoticons on there, everything. That was really the last time.
The fucking Tentomon icon as the
daily. Yeah, the late 90s style messenger app.
Mm-hmm.
The Google search for what was he searching? I had it written down at some point.
I'm just saying, short form video wouldn't be a problem if everything took, like, that long to load. Like, you had to really want to watch your, like, little shit post. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a beauty to it. And But, you know, you might if there was a little dancing Digimon every time you waited on it loading. So maybe that would be counterintuitive.
In all the like computer rooms of the era as well, right? I feel like there were always these posters, you know, like hang in there, like posters about like how cool the internet was. And I couldn't help but notice the one on, or I can't remember which one of y'all noticed it, but the one on the wall that was just like another computer and it said balloon.
Yep. Yeah. Mm. A laptop in front of like an old CRT monitor. And it just says balloon underneath.
It just says balloon.
I think that's a reference for hardcore Workers Lit fans who are listening to this episode. People, longtime listeners to Workers Lit will know why Lenore and I laugh when we saw the word balloon.
When did I explain that on the show? I don't think
you
I
have
did.
Multiple times explained that on the show.
Lunars? Is it Lunars?
Is not.
I think it would be funnier if you only ever explain it on other shows.
No, you know what? It wasn't that. It was something else that I wrote. It was like a Halloween like conflation like thing.
Yes.
The commission prompts included the line, "They then turn me balloon," and that pretty much like blue screened me for a while.
And like anytime the word balloon comes
fingers,
up,
but it's cum.
Anytime the word balloon comes up, I'm like, "They then turn me balloon." Like it's just burned into my brain. Like I got it secondhand, and it still destroyed me.
What did I call that story? Oh yeah, I called that story Jack Off Lantern.
That's my Digimon, yeah.
Oh fuck me.
I'm looking at the dubbing changes here, and I see that in the English dub, a moment is removed from when Imperial Dramon Dragon Mode fires multiple shots across Japan, which destroy 3 control spires.
So they remove the coolest shot in the the episode, is what you're telling me. I mean, this came out, like, we checked in. This episode released in America before 9/11. This was several months ahead of time.
What do they know?
Yeah. What did they know?
My favorite story to tell about that is they were filming the turtle guy scenes in Master of Disguise when 9/11 happened. So in the turtle guy outfit, Dana Carvey has to stop and take a minute of silence for 9/11.
It's far too turtly for the Turtle Club. It's
exactly. Fuck.
And then get back to work. Movie.
I think they probably wrapped for the day. If I had
you
to
think?
Guess, I'd be like, yeah, I don't think I could be. I'm not feeling turtly enough for the Turtle Club at the moment.
That movie, though, I think they wanted to get that done shooting in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I feel like they were on an aggressive movie. Schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got 8 days to shoot this bitch. Let's go. How would everybody rate this on a scale of rookie to mega? And I'll run you through the levels here.
Okay.
A rookie Digimon is like an Agumon, a little yellow dinosaur guy. And then a champion is a Greymon, which is a bigger dinosaur. And then you've got a metal Greymon, who's a cyborg dinosaur. And you've got a war Greymon, which is like a knight dinosaur.
And those are ultimate and mega, respectively.
Correct. Mm. In the Japanese, it's perfect and then mega, right?
Let's not confuse it too much.
Rookie, so champion, rookie to mega. Ultimate mega. Jacob, you first. What's your vibe?
You know, I'm going to give it an ultimate is what I'm going to go for. And this is with no frame of reference at all, to be fair. But with my extremely limited frame of reference, aside from, you know, Digimon epic moments, this had some epic moments in it. I was having fun. I'm not going to put it at the absolute top because there were some moments where it was like a lot of kids standing there, like looking at an old guy that's young guy now. And I don't know what that's about. And I was like, go back to the Triceratops. But every moment with the Triceratops or the transformation or them showing the same animation a third time, every time I saw that, I was like, okay, we are absolutely cooking with gas. So, you know, if you didn't have the parts where they're standing in the computer room with the sign said balloon and like plot dumping, then we might even be at mega. But I had a really good time with this one. Maybe I would have a different thoughts if I had seen more of the show. But based on what I'm at, that's where I put it. I had a damn good experience with this one, no doubt.
Mm. Fuck yeah.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah, this one like really, really, really flew by for me. Like it didn't it, you know, yeah, there's kids standing around and whatnot. And so you, sure, like, I tend to agree, Jacob, that slowed it down a little, but like, it watches like a epic moments compilation, you know, the fights are cool. Yeah, the fights are cool. Like, it sets up like stakes for like what's going on next. Like, there's like Carmen Sandiego and like the mummy guy, like, you know, planning like weird shit like down the road. I want to see what that's about. That's intriguing. So yeah, you know, like I'm a little bit lost, but like I'm along for the ride.
Fucking A. What's the rating?
Ultimate.
Excellent.
Ultimate. Okay. 3 of 4 for both. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with a champion for this one. It's so close to an ultimate specifically because we get my favorite boy. But it's a pretty lore heavy episode after we just had a very low pace, low stakes episode with the Christmas thing. So coming in with that context, I want more beams. Mm-hmm. There was some cool beams. There were legitimately awesome beams. And we didn't even get them in the English dub. We would have been cheated if we were didn't still watching the god awful
dub.
Beams
in the dub.
But it's slow enough. And Jedi is young now, and I thought it was funnier when he looked like living foreskin.
There's
less charm to him looking like Obi-Wan, like young Obi-Wan. It's just not, it doesn't work as well for me.
He does the Padawan braid and everything, yeah.
He's not doing the Catskill zingers anymore either. Like,
no,
he's,
well, know, that was a dub thing too.
I don't know, I feel like.
Do you think that really sells to a Japanese audience?
I don't know.
Do you think that reads?
The Catskills are eternal, man. Come on.
All right. But yeah, I'm sticking with Champion. It could have been better. There's definitely stuff going for it, but boy howdy, the plotting parts are plotting.
I think I have to go Ultimate because good fucking beams. Good beams. I'm proud of the beams here. There's also an evil dragon, and the reveal on the evil dragon and his sequence, out of control. So good. Very good Digivolution sequence.
We didn't even touch on the fact that he like beams you up and down out of his armpit. Like you can just kind of get loaded up in there, transporter style.
Come on, get up on here. And then he's got like a air bubble because he travels at Mach 15.
Right. Yeah.
Apparently. And you can just be on his back standing there having a conversation and not have your spine ripped out of your body.
No, don't even need an acceleration couch or like high G drugs or anything.
Exactly. We've been watching The Expanse a little bit.
There's always that necessary like secondary superpower. Like, okay, you have super speed. Presumably you also have like immunity to like inertia and everything that involves.
You have an invincible neck or something.
Unfortunately,
I have immunity to inertia, but not super speed, so it never really comes into play.
You should be a race car driver then.
No reflexes.
Yeah, I don't have super reflexes for it. Fighter pilot, same deal. Eyesight's not as good. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Corla.
It's my turn.
I think it's time for this part of the show.
It's art, bitch! It's fucking art!
All right. I've only got one piece. There was some questionable stuff available for Triceramon.
Okay. But questionable in what way? Three bottoms, I'm going to guess. There's three bottoms.
In the sense that there's fucking... The problem with Digimon porn is that there's a lot of it that involves the digidestined children.
And that's a bummer.
And like,
we also don't like that. Rookies on this show because the Japanese version of rookie is child. So we're like, no thanks. But champion are up. Fucking fair game, baby.
I also chafe at them, include like Pokemon and Digimon fucking.
Yeah. Pokemon 2.
I don't know why. That just bugs me on a flavor level. But what I do have for you is a lovely little pinup of Imperial Dramon at proper scale, no less.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what's up. Oh, he's got like sheath and everything. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Who wants first crack at this? Who wants to describe?
I'll give it a shot. So we've got this big dragon-esque fellow with his big red penis out, and he is big. He is bigger. We see him right next to a large truck. He's kind of got his tongue out. He's excited about that, and his penis is kind of emerging from a sheath, as it were. And he's, you know, he's looking pretty excited to be there. He's definitely dribbling a little pre-cum, which is good. Maybe even a little cum. Not sure the difference for a man of his size, but he seems to be having an all around good time. Not really with anybody, just kind of observing things as it goes. Whether or not the driver of this vehicle is about to be involved is left up to the imagination.
Pulling up in the truck. Dragons
are famous for fucking cars, to be fair.
Yeah. It's
an understandable expectation. His pose and expression say to me that this is a photo shoot. He's planned this pose. Mm. He's set up a fucking a delayed shot on a tripod.
So he's the one taking the photograph. Like,
he's got his friend to drive a truck and like park it in the exact right spot. I think if
you got a
dick like that,
you got a friend who can take the picture for you. You know what I'm saying?
It could be the same friend that like drove the truck into position.
There's sort of like a monochrome background. So like either like there's not really a whole lot of color like in the first place here, or like he's got an insanely bright ring light.
Yeah, well, you said I'm a sick fuck. I like a quick truck. Yeah, is kind of what he had in mind there. I like to think that maybe the evil lady, like they like she takes pictures in her spare time, and they're like, okay,
yeah,
Paul's from the fighting. I can respect, you know, aesthetics. I'm gonna help you out with this, and we'll go back to our war later. In fact, that may have been the order to the mummy Digimon to help with this photo shoot.
As a freelance photographer, you can't be holding grudges like that. You got to get your jobs where you can get them.
You gotta get the shots.
And if your combat enemy wants to show off the scale of his cock relative to a truck, then, I mean, you give him your fucking working rates, right?
That's right.
That's exactly right.
I like an Imperial Dramon with a big dick and a long torso.
It is extremely long.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, very twinky build. Very slim hips on this particular Imperial Dramon.
Yeah, this guy's definitely a swimmer.
And despite having a knot, the sheath looks uncomfortably tight.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's got to get engorged, right? Like, it's not that big all the time.
No, but you're going to have difficulty stowing it back away.
Right. He has phimosis of the knot. He's got to work that back in there. It takes some doing.
Gordian knot, yeah.
Optimism of the will, pessimism of the flesh, phimosis of the knot, you know? Like,
That's beautiful.
Oh, this is great. And he's just computer enhanced. The look on his face just makes me so happy. He's like,
oh yeah, tongue out, big smile.
he knows he ate that for sure.
Oh yeah. This is one of the silly ones he did after he nutted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense.
Ever just do a silly one?
And that's the only one I could find this time around.
Damn, really? For Imperial Dramon? That's crazy.
I know,
Dragon
right?
Dragon mode. I bet Paladin mode has more action happening.
Yeah, Warrior and Paladin mode both have a little bit more going on. There was one, but it was essentially like a cock showcase for a whole bunch of Digimon, including ones we haven't gotten to yet, so
we don't like to spoil
there's a Digimon cock like museum in Iceland.
what
I'm at, have you not heard of the cock museum in Iceland?
Simply must know more.
It's literally like I think it's in Reykjavik, like this museum. Yeah, exactly. The phallological, it's a bunch of penises from like various mammals, like from around the world. I imagine they have a Digimon version in this world.
You would have to. Wow, they got them in bongs.
Canonically, these,
like, dongs and bongs. Look at this.
Canonically,
shit.
The only people been studying Digimon was various militaries so far. So presumably there's like a collection of digicocks like 3D printed in Fort Knox for study.
Fort Cox.
Fort Cox, yeah.
Oh wow. I'm looking through this slideshow of images at the Phallological Museum on IcelandTravelGuide.is. And there's just, it's cocks and cocks and cocks in plastic tubes with formaldehyde, I assume. And then there's a nice shot of the architecture. There's like a really interesting hallway that terminates in a cock in a tube. And then the next shot is two women enjoying, they look like cosmopolitans and some penis-shaped waffles.
Yeah, the penis waffles, or the cock waffles, I absolutely had to point out because that looks delightful, actually.
You know, I actually...
Phallic Auger, Moby Dick, Big Dick Ale, Dick Johnson's Wheat Ale.
There's got to be a waffle press or a waffle iron in a dick shape that you can just buy, right?
Oh, 100%.
When I visited Corfu, Greece, we went to a town where apparently like it was much, much easier to be gay like a long time ago than it was everywhere else. And all the gay people went there and they had a gigantic bar that was built by the gay people and every single thing was a dick, like everything. And I was like, see, and I was like, look, I love this, but this is, you know, y'all, I'm just speaking to the gays of the past. It's like, damn, y'all were given freedom immediately. They're like, all right, we got to show that we can be respectable. Build the penis bar. But you know what? It was beautiful. We sipped coffee out of penises while sitting on penises and looking out at a skyline with all the bars on the window looked like penises. It was really, really just lovely.
That's incredible.
On the one hand, respectability only gets you so far, and I'm fucking here for just plastered dicks all over the place. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, like, trans dudes exist. Get some pussies around there,
get
too.
Get some That's pussies true. In there. Come
That's
on.
A good point. That's a good
Not
point.
Not being the scared of vagina way. Allegations.
That's true. Corfu, Greece, you are on notice.
Get more pussies. All right, we got one more segment we got to do here. We got to name our digital champion.
I'll lead off with Daisuke is the obvious choice because as everyone is like, we got to get together, we got to figure out a plan, it's an emergency. He's already figured out that like, well, Ken's part of the team, and if we're going to make sure he gets there safe, someone has to get him. And I guess that's me now because no one else is doing it. So props to him for taking community action where it was necessary.
Yeah, Daisuke getting a lot of digital champions lately.
Yeah, he's growing up. He stopped being a little fucking shit the whole time.
I'm gonna give it to Izzy's mom for bringing the team onigiri
for having it going on.
It's Izzy's mom, good go now. She's making onigiri for a trip that's so long.
Yeah, by it I mean rice balls.
Don't you mean donuts?
No, you're right. I'm sorry.
You're right. I'm so sorry.
Can I give it to the Triceratops?
Or absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm going to give it to Triceramon. I feel like he was in a scary situation and he did what the best thing he could do, which was start destroying car centric infrastructure. And I think that's really beautiful.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he took his opportunity, he made the most of it. Then he went home. You know, Triceramon, shout out to you.
Yeah, his introduction, his way of saying hello as soon as he sees the kids is to crush a random Mitsubishi in the street.
Lenora, who's your digital champion?
I mean, I gotta give it to Archinemon, don't I? Right? Like, she's rocking the, like, witch hat and the like, trench coat combo. She got that half cape. She's dripped out. She looks like... Did you ever play that arcade game, like, way back in the day? Which it was like whack-a-mole, but with spiders, and there was like a queen spider that was super sexy. Like, she looks like a human version of that.
This sounds so familiar.
Lenora, this sounds like a dream that you had, but I believe you if you say it's real.
It sounds familiar, but
I swear to Christ, it's real. But, like, yeah, like, so, you know, she's there, of course. She's dripped out, and, like, she's letting Mummymon, like, you know, be on the front lines, you know, sort of take the measure of all, you know, the people they're fighting. And, you know, without putting herself in danger. So, you know, She's navigating this like very, very intelligently. I'm very excited to see where her whole thing goes.
She's kind of got this Riley hat going on, which is also really cool.
Yeah.
I love
Oh wow, she evolves into this?
Yeah, she does evolve into the terrible centaur.
Yeah, that's her real form.
Yeah, like how Mummy Mon had like the blue sort of like butler almost outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he jumps out and he's, you know, got the blicky and yeah.
I see, like she has a card from like the card game that where she's like really hot.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of Digimon do, funny enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some very hot Digimon out there.
It's on that note, I appreciate that Digimon has, I don't think it's intentional, but it has extremely homoerotic designs for the mask looking Digimon. Like, let me get a picture of Leomon for everybody here.
Let's go.
Yeah, it's important to understand Leomon.
It's important to see a Leomon.
I'll grab an Ogremon as well, because these two have a whole lot of God, the first search result for Ogremon okay. is now Ogremon fan cam, which makes me so happy.
So this is a lion looking fellow. Oops. Here, and he's got these like very gay wristbands, the like leather wristbands. This is definitely a guy that, you know, you would see at an Atlanta Pride event for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of maybe on security, you know, maybe monitoring the situation, but definitely an important part of the community for sure.
And surprisingly gentle, given that he's built like a fucking truck.
Mm.
Just like just easy to talk to guy. We love Leomon. He's cool.
It won't load my picture.
That's it won't load.
No,
who's this green fellow?
That's Ogremon. Leomon has incredible homoromantic tension throughout the first season.
His chaotic partner. I like that.
Ogremon does at one point, and I talk about this all the time, it's my favorite moment in the entire series. There's two kids trapped on an ice floe where it's a kid and his Digimon, and they're floating across the water trying to get somewhere safe, and a box floats up to the fucking ice floe.
Like a crate, yeah.
Like a crate, and they're like, oh, hell yeah, maybe there's food inside. They open the box and it's fucking Ogremon, and it's one of the best things that ever happened in a television program. I love it so much. I was like, what was your plan, dog? Did you just get in the box and like decide to float around the ocean until you hit a kid? Like, come on. Perfect.
Real hater shit.
Real hater shit. That's Ogremon.
I'm gonna mail myself to you to kick your ass.
Yeah, exactly. You open your Amazon package and I just fly out throwing hands.
Just a cartoon Acme boxing glove gets you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. This was a beautiful episode of Data Transfer, folks. This was great. I want to thank you two for joining us, and I hope that you will share with us your plugs, please.
Absolutely. Lenore, do you want to go first or should I?
Yeah, we are Lenore and Jacob of Workers Lit. We talk about books, both fiction and non. Our tagline up to this point has been like, we're about the battle for the narrative. So that's what we sort of tease out here. You know, how stories get told, how, you know, narratives like conventional wisdom gets established, how histories are written and rewritten. And, you know, we get serious with it. We get silly with it. We just have a good time all around. We got a couple of co-hosts. Aisha for the fiction half, Jen Big Nasty for the nonfiction half. And they've got their own stuff going on as well. Jacob, if you want to get into that.
They're both fantastic co-hosts. And I also, myself, I have a novel. They called her Rebel, a fantasy novel about late stage capitalism, people power, and queer love. You can buy that wherever fine books are sold. But, you know, best to order it from Collective Inc. directly, I'd say, because they're the publisher, and I think that is a good thing to do. Or get your local library to pick it up. We love that. But that is a novel that I wrote about queer revolution against capitalist system set in a fantasy setting. So I would imagine listeners to this show would probably find it to be a fun time. I think I'm speaking to the correct folks for that. So if you like that kind of thing, go support that. That's something I worked on, and go listen to Workers Lit. Our alternate tagline that I've preferred is that we could be call ourselves your favorite podcast about literature for hot, cool, gay, and or working class people. That is another discussed tagline, though.
Lock
you
know, it.
You could be. Regardless, thank you so much for having us. This has been so much fun. And now I'm going to immediately text my friend from college and be like, I watched a full episode of Digimon.
I watched.
he hasn't heard from me in like 3 years, but I'm sure.
It's a great way to reopen the friendship.
Oh, no doubt.
If you're trying to reopen a friendship, right? If you've got somebody you haven't talked to in a little while and you're like, how do I approach this? You can write into my other podcast. It's called Radio Free Tote Bag. It's a show about relationships. We help you out with your romantic stuff, with stuff with your family, with stuff with your friends, right into the show. And we share with you our extensive wisdom from the number of mistakes that we've made over the course of our life. So check us out at rftb.me or anywhere you find podcasts.
And I've got one other project, another podcast called Post Ponies, where me and several other trans gals run through a retrospective of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, as well as looking at the concurrent rise of American fascism as the show is running. It's a grand old time, and you can find it at smallgayhorse.com or anywhere else that you're listening to this podcast.
What a URL. Big fun. We also have a Patreon, of course, at patreon.com/datatransfer, where for $5 a month for the next 3 subscribers, we have 17 members on the Digidestined tier. $5 a month gets you a shout out at the end of each main feed episode, just like these people got.
We have Vile Pig Farmer, Ember Saffron, The Worst of All Possible Worlds, Saturday's Claire, This Penguin Has Her Boobs Out, parentheses Cat, Waylon Sprite Smith, Maya, Gigi, Bubba Nitro, Asa, Kitty Sparks, Jubilation Lee, Pablo Hummus, Mish, and Teresa.
Thank you so much for supporting us at the Digidestined tier. You absolutely, positively are the Digi in Armand. We love you very much. And we love everybody for joining us this lovely evening. Thank you again to Jacob and Lenore. Thank you to Corla for being my co-host. And I think it's important for you to get out there and buy the products.